of Sports at 590 Fan. Ailish Forfar, JD Bunkus, Blake Murphy. We're going to talk about that exciting Maple Leafs game last night. Just another 3-1 blown lead. It was even trending on Twitter last night. It was 3-1. It's like, God, they're never going to get through. They're never going to shake those demons. Like, it's just going to be a part of the lore of the Toronto Maple Leafs. We're waiting for our buddy Nick Kyprios to join us this morning, who hopefully isn't as fired up as Keefe was last night.
Oh, he's going to be fired up.
You think, eh? Oh, yeah. He's so fired up that he hung up on Vic while Vic was trying to... No, it was Vic's fault.
No, it was the other way around. Vic hung up on him.
Because he was scared.
He's yelling soft and purposeless before he even comes on. And Vic's like, whoa. We gotta cool him off here.
That's right.
Before Kipper comes on, and this is something that we'll, you know, eventually end up bringing him in on. But it's just... I think what's really tough about this is that The Leafs are still, if they win out their next four games, they're first in their division. They're still, what, like 6-3-1 in their last 10. But this sucks. You can't be blowing leads like this. This is not playoff hockey. And as I mentioned before earlier in the show, it was like, this was an issue in 2016. You're supposed to evolve as a team and as a core and what blah, 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 blah. It feels like they stepped in a time machine and they're back at the early iterations of the Matthews, Marner, Nylander team. But the goalie's been so good, it's hard to just lay all the blame at his feet, even though those third period numbers are bad. How are you supposed to say it's about the team defense when you have four defensemen out there that don't look ready to absorb major minutes against good teams? Like, this is just not an easy one to really diagnose. And it's not even an easy one to project forward and say, well, what's the follow-up to this? So this is just kind of an uncomfortable spot. So I'm very curious to hear Kipper's thoughts on it. Nick Kyprios, Real Kipper and Born. What's up, bro? How you doing?
I'm good. What happened? Everybody, like, come back Saturday night, St. Louis, and then last night, it's like over for the Leafs. I mean, everybody should just pack it up and go home. Like, what happened? How does this happen from one game to the next?
Before we answer that, let's bring you in on this insider. Is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit donvalleynorthlexus.com. Yeah, I don't know. It's been a tough little journey. I think it's been three or four blown leads in this month alone, all of 3-1 leads. And, you know, we saw Keefe put a little bit of fire at the podium last night saying they were soft and purposeless. And is that using a bullet at the right time? Is that starting to call your players out and try to change the narrative, be like, guys, we really need to fix this? Or should he have been a little bit, you know, hold his cards closer to his heart?
Yeah, I'll tell you in April which way those comments went. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the brutal honesty. I'm just not sure Brendan Shanahan or Kyle Dubas would appreciate his comments last night. And they were hardcore. And there was a level of frustration, I think, out of those comments that, again, if I'm Kyle Dubas or Brendan Shanahan, I would have wished he would have chosen his words a little bit more delicately. Being exposed for being a soft team, that's huge to me. Those are major comments, and I would have preferred him saying that we played soft tonight. But mm-hmm. to say we're exposed for being a team that was soft, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a real message sent to anybody, the fans, and even his management team, that this lineup's not good enough, and particularly the defense. The forwards can play. We know that. It's not perfect, and yeah, you'd like some more grit up there and maybe some size and, you know, a guy that can change the course of a game with, you know, some real physical, with a real physical element. They're just going to have to continue to try to do it with tremendous skill, and you try to outscore your opponents. But that blue line, mm-hmm. it's an ongoing thing. McDermott, Biega, Sandin, Liljegren. That's 4 out of 6 defense that you would see in game 3 out of an 8-game exhibition season, not halfway through a regular season when you're trying to win the division. It's just not good enough. And now, last night, and who knows moving forward, how many times we'll see that team collapse because of it. And, you know, as bad as Muzzin and Hall have been this year, they were really missed last night.
Yeah,
and it has to be addressed. It won't work. And now, you know, you start hearing people all over Jack Campbell. Are you kidding me? He gave you a chance to win again last night. And, you know, it's like, what, they're going to do the same thing to Jack Campbell as they did to Freddie. And everybody said, oh, Freddie's no good in the back half. He collapses. He's not mentally tough. And it's like, the trend, it's Jack, it could trend the same way as Freddie did the last few years where, you know, my blue line's not good enough. I can't win. And that's where they are today.
The blue line stinks. It's really bad, Kipper. This is why, okay, Sheldon Keefe is obviously a hard ass, right? And he is somebody that has attention to detail, and he was pissed. And I think that it's reasonable for a coach to be pissed after you blow another 3-1 lead, and then you got to go back up to the podium, and you've already done the thing. Ailish mentioned it earlier. She's going, yeah, the first time they did it, he said, hey, nothing but positive. So you do it a fourth time, and yeah, the guy who gets pissed off was just chewing on referees last night is going to be pissed off at the podium. So I don't really fault him necessarily for digging in. You're right. We can nitpick about the ways he said it or just the language exactly. But that was pretty predictable that he was going to go up there last night and be furious. What I do think is interesting, though, is that preseason blue line that you outlined, they're right there. We're talking about they replaced Muzzin and Hall in there, who everybody's been mad at, and Aaron Ward basically came on yesterday and said, hey, you should actually be grateful for those two because look at what's underneath. But if I'm Kyle Dubas, I'm saying, hey, thanks for saying that it was the team that's soft and purposeless, because that takes a little bit of heat off me. I'm the guy who ultimately has to change this. I'm the one who's going to have to figure out how to add another defenseman, because, yeah, we're an injury away from Alex Biega and Travis Dermott eating minutes. That's not good. That's not a thing. Dubas got to be working the phones right now, no? Like, this is – you blow those leads. It sucks. Goaltending, team, whatever. But ultimately what this comes down to is that blue line is not winning a Stanley Cup. Like, outside of an incredible performance by Jack Campbell down the stretch or the Leafs scoring 6 goals a night, you can't win with those guys. They're unplayable.
I think last night just pours gasoline on the fire. It adds heat to the management team. Nothing deflected here. I mean, we all watched it. We all know that he is possibly 2-3 defensemen away from winning a Stanley Cup. That's the depth that you need on the blue line. And guys get hurt. Guys get suspended. I'm telling you, it's 7 or 8 defensemen. And right now, he's got 3. And it's just, I don't know, it's a race against the clock here. Is he going to do it all at the trade deadline? Or is he just going to say it is what it is? Because it won't be good enough. It will collapse. And again, just to reiterate, you know, the Jack Campbell or the Freddie Anderson here, I mean, Freddie's got Slavin, he's got Pesci, he's got D'Angelo, he's got Brady Shea in Carolina. Let's just watch this thing play out. You know, where's Jack trending and where's Freddie trending? It makes all the difference in the world. When a goalie, I've never played the position in my life. I've tried it in practice a couple of times and humiliated myself. But whether we had, you know, Mike Richter on the Real Kipper and Bourne show yesterday or, you know, Mike McKenna, who's a career, you know, journeyman. One thing's common with those guys. When they lose trust in the guys on the blue line, they have no chance. And I'm just wondering where Jack is mentally now. Mm-hmm. When the play's dropped off now, and he's looking for some help, like, you know, whether you're going to come out another 6 inches or a foot to challenge a shooter depends on how comfortable you are, whether or not your D-man's in position for a backdoor play. And once Jack or Freddie lose that with the six guys in front of them called defensemen, it's over. So let's just see how this thing plays out, you know, in this back half of the season.
I like what you're saying about Jack Campbell, because earlier in the week we discussed that he's had to shoulder a lot and he's hid a lot of this defensive weakness because he's had big games and he's come out with huge performances that make you think, wow, he's a Vezina candidate. And last night, you know, those things kind of seeped through. We got to see how bad the defense were and how bad this core can be back there, because he didn't get to stand on his head and save every single goal. But you know, now looking forward, you give Mrazek a little bit more of an opportunity because there's now like 19 games that were rescheduled that are going to be a lot of travel and some back-to-backs, and you're going to have Mrazek get a little bit more ice time. Do you think that helps Jack Campbell rest, get his confidence back, and help, obviously, the Leafs down the stretch here?
It's going to have to help. You painted this picture before the season, and what you were able to get out of Jack Campbell in the first half was extraordinary. But a goalie that you paid almost $4 million a year cannot sit like Peter Mrazek has. And, yes, it will help him, and it will help, I think, the team in the long run if Mrazek can come in and just add some stability. And does he have to play over his head like Jack did for the first half to cover up, a blue line that's, you know, not as sound as you'd like? Yeah, that's possible too. And, you know, if you really watch Mrazek's career, when this guy's on, he's fantastic. But when it's not going well, he can be as bad as anybody. So you just hope you get the good Mrazek. But, yeah, to answer your question, he's going to have to come in and alleviate some of that pressure off of Jack. And you just hope that, Jack can find a rhythm in the back half of the season that, you know, isn't mock speed like the first, 35 games. But he can find a nice balance here and get himself ready for we all assume is still a playoff round, you know, come April.
Talking to Nick Kyprios of Real Kipper and Born. Nick, last night, Ilya Mikheyev scores yet another one. He's red hot, shooting percentage up over 20% since he came back. And his agent tweets and then deletes a show me the money picture. Let's ignore the poor quality of the actual picture itself.
Was that a picture of him?
Yeah.
Who was a picture of?
Of the agent, yeah.
It was him. It was so bad. Yeah, I know. He definitely made it. It was definitely him who did it. He had two glasses of wine, and he fired that out.
Yes,
100%.
I think maybe alcohol was involved.
So, you can share some. You know, I know you had a big season in the '90s, and maybe your agent wasn't posting memes about it at the time. But you got to think this is a elbow nudge offense of, hey man, maybe don't negotiate over Twitter. But on the serious side of that, what have you liked from Mikheyev coming back? And do you think this version of that third line that we've liked so much this year, without Kasha, is potentially a line that they stick with even when Kasha's back?
Well, when, you know, the first 10 minutes of that hockey game, you know, everybody's feeling good, and you're watching that third line set a tone, and you're like, if you're a Leaf fan, this is great. If our third line can come out and do that, and you've got the Matthews and the Mariners and the Tavareses and the Nylander, like, what don't you like about our forwards? Everything was just trending in such a great direction for them for the rest of the night. I like that third line a lot. And Mikheyev has come a long way. There's no question. He's got a little strut now. He's got a little confidence. He's got a little swag where he goes in and he's first on a forecheck, yet he can still find himself in front of the net. That was a great goal. It was a great motivational goal for the rest of the team to go win that hockey game. They're fine up front. It's not perfect, but it's good. It's good. It should be good enough. Everybody's got holes. Every team. That's what the salary cap has done. It's made no team perfect. And the Leafs aren't perfect up front, but that is not their issue. And especially when you got Mikheyev going, and Kampf has done a terrific job this year. Kasha, when he's healthy, can hang in there. We've known it from Anaheim. When he's healthy, he's fine. They've got depth up there. That is not the issue. It's not the problem. As far as the agent sending out that message, yeah, there'd probably be a phone call from either Brendan or Kyle to say, you know, can you cool it, please? Can we just try to finish a hockey game against the Rangers, please, without being humiliated? But that'll go on behind the scenes. He will get his money, and he'll get it somewhere else. He's going to turn himself into the Zach Hyman of last year, where he's outpriced. We've got no room. We can't go there. And you know, the agent Dan will get his money. He will be shown the money, but it just won't be from Toronto.
Yeah. The weird thing is that's been obvious all along. I don't know. To me, it's just Milstein had a couple little Buddhas. He just had a couple little Buddhas. He's getting excited about his client. How he just it's hilarious that Mikheyev went from a guy who couldn't buy one. Genuinely, like that guy, he was just snake bit. Like, the Cobra nickname could not have been more perfect. Just snake bit guy. Could not buy one. Now this year, it's just everything he touches, Midas, in the back of the net. And, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle, right? He does create those opportunities. He's a really good player. I love the way he skates. I like the way that he reads plays. He's solid. I really, really like Mikheyev. But he's gone, and everybody knew he was gone, and everybody knew he had the cheap Russia contract, and the second he was going to be available as a free agent, he was going to be gone out the door. So, awesome. But yeah, the forward group is fine. Everybody acknowledges that this season. They stay healthy. It's all in the stars, but they've got better depth. It's just this blue line has been tough. And I'm going to close with this, though, Kipper. I'm just going to come back to it. They've blown all these leads, right? But this is the thing that I think is the uncomfortable part of it, is do you see it being the same reason why they're blowing this lead? Because that was the first game where they had those four defensemen all together. So we can point the finger at them and say, hey, it's because they're running out the preseason lineup, as you put it. But that's only game one of the five games they've just played where they haven't had it tight with the group. Jack Campbell has a bad save percentage, but we've all said, hey, you can't ask him to be Superman every single night. And if you are going to lay this all at his feet, then you better be ready to deal with the consequences of this guy losing some confidence potentially. Like, is there a commonality between these blown leads to you? Like, is there something in all of this where you say, yep, they've done this every single night and this is why this is happening?
The only thing I can sit there and say is collectively, you know, we can even break it down individually, but collectively, it's a character flaw, JD. That's it in a nutshell, is that it is a character flaw for a lot of those guys that they can't finish. That, you know, you want to play a certain game, and I think Sheldon touched on it, that, you know, you got to have purpose for 60 minutes, and you got to have different looks at different times. And right now, if they just want to go out there and exchange their chances and toe drag and get their goals, that's fine. But there's times when you got to just find different ways to say we've got enough goals and we're shutting it down. And, you know, we're going to build this brick wall and you're not coming through. And they just haven't shown signs of showing different sides of their game. They show skill, and they show highlight reels. But that's not the game. The game is still played and won in different ways besides crossing the black little piece of rubber over a red goal line. And they haven't found that component yet. And it is a character flaw, and it needs to be addressed in the back half here. It's just not about scoring your pretty goals, man. You got to get your nose dirty to win in this league. It's still a tough league. I don't care what era you're in. It's still a man's game when you got to go toe-to-toe, nose-to-nose, and I think the Rangers got it. They got humiliated by Tom Wilson last year, and they said enough. And the Leafs haven't said enough yet. They want to go out there and win their pretty game out there. Uh-uh. Not in any era, as long as the rules are still the same.
I love it. Somebody that's not soft and purposeless, Nick Kypreos. Thanks for joining us this morning.
That's right.
Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you. That Insider was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit donvalleynorthlexus.com.
Yeah. So he's right. And we're trying to diagnose these things, and I think about a couple of things. One is they do have to be tougher, straight up. I don't care if they're playing the preseason lineup. You've asked your goalie to do a lot this year. You got to find ways to not blow this many leads. I'm sorry. So yeah, we can sugarcoat it with the record, and we can sugarcoat it with all this. You gotta figure it out. You gotta be tougher. You do. Just straight up. You gotta be a tougher team. Part of it is the composition of the roster and the blue line. It's a massive problem. But come on, you need your leadership to step up and take the pressure off those players. But the bigger thing, and I, by the way, I'm doing a take it or leave it today. I'm firing up a new video up on the old Instagram, so make sure you do a follow. But a lot of the premise is going to be about this, which is, to me, this is just an indicator of how pressure-packed this Leafs season is, right? Like, they win all the – they get hot after that slow start to the season, and they look like the best team in hockey, and everyone goes, okay, we're happy. We're happy with this product right now. They take one step back. They have one little sign of cracks towards playoffs, and all the anxieties come out. And it's not just from fans. It's not just from fans. It's within that organization. That's why Sheldon Keefe's saying that stuff. That's why Jack Campbell's promising to be better in January, right? This is not just a Leafs fan thing. This is a team thing. That entire organization knows there is just a crazy amount of pressure on everybody. So you take one little slip. You have one little stretch of bad games. You have a couple games where you need the AHL defenseman to come up here in a COVID season where every team has to show their depth. And boom, it feels weighty. It feels heavy. We're talking about character and flaws and blah, 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 blah. And most of it is probably overdone because everybody is just bearing the weight of those playoff losses. And we can pretend like they're not, but everybody is. You, me, media, fans, players, coaches, front office, everybody.
The biggest thing that I feel like we keep talking about is toughness, toughness, toughness. And I think people get confused about toughness being like physical toughness. And they did get beat by physical toughness last night. 31 hits for the Rangers to the Leafs 12. Like, that's an issue for sure. But it's the mental toughness that I think is the main thing that's underlying and why the Leafs keep having these collapses or keep feeling like they're close and then they let their foot off the gas. And the two of those together are a really bad way to have weakness and softness. And I think I liked when Kipper said that maybe Keefe shouldn't have exposed it as like we got exposed for being a soft team, because that now sticks in your head like the Leafs are soft and purposeless. That's what he said. So he didn't say like, you know, we got exposed tonight. It was like we got our weaknesses shown, and maybe those are the two big weaknesses that other teams are going to exploit: physicality and, you know, the grind, grinding down this team, coming back from behind in a game and winning. Like, those things weigh on you as a player, and the more that it happens, the more difficult it is to rewrite the narrative, right? So that's why I think this upcoming game against the Islanders, a really garbage team, is so vitally important. Like, I feel that there's a lot of weight on how this outcome, like how the Leafs can play this game, because it's starting to get, like, you're starting to sink into the mud, you know?
Yeah. What I would be concerned about as well, if I'm the Leafs looking ahead to the playoffs, is these collapses and these blown leads, and if there's the toughness element underlying it, that can be empowering for an opponent. if you get down in a game or you get down in a playoff series, the Toronto Maple Leafs, and there's a multi-year track record of, you know, teams can play from behind against them. It's like UFC, you get taken down, but you know that this guy's, you know, prone to getting submitted. So it's like, it's in the back of your head that like, oh, maybe this isn't, you know, maybe I'm not done here. Maybe I'm okay. I do think that can be empowering for another team where, you know, a lot of times we see in sports, you get a 3-1 series lead or you get up a couple goals in a big game and it can be deflating. I don't think you're deflating anyone if you're the Leafs because this track record continues. You know, more from the practical standpoint of, hey, the defenseman last night are the issue, or you can look past this or that. You were good enough to get a 3-1 lead against a good team. You should be good enough to hold it as well. So, you know, the odd night, those things, you know, you can wave away the occasional one like that, but when it's this much of a pattern, it's a pattern.
Guys, I've wanted to swear this entire segment. I want to swear so badly, but that's a great bleeping point, Blake. You know, that is about as good of a point as you can make it. It's just, that's where we're getting here, is that you always start with the looking at the little things and looking at all these details, but it's like we've just zoomed out here and you go, this team has blown leads in the past. They blew a series lead to the Bruins. They blew the series lead last year to Montreal. They've blown leads in hockey games in the past. They've shown this lack of ability to play a full 60 minutes, and it's bit them in the ass. And so you can interchange the pieces around it, but the core is the core, and the faces that you've seen here are the same, and the pressure is high. And so this is it. You got to deal with it. You as a group have to deal with this because that stuff isn't changing. The fan base is going to stay engaged and passionate. The media is going to stay on top of you. Like, how stoked are you if you're the Edmonton Oilers after the Leafs blew that lead? You go, thank you. Thank you for...
Keep
now
it
we're
up.
Not talking about, yeah, it's soft and purposeless instead of pissy for the next 24 hours. So the hockey... Yeah,
until they get pasted by the Panthers tonight.
Sure, but yeah. what's the Lord of the Ring eye? You know what I'm talking about? Sauron?
Nope.
Sauron.
Never seen
Sauron.
It.
One of those two. Yeah. It's Sauron or Sauron. Either way, the Lord of the Ring eye that, like, peers over the whole land is back on the Leafs. The Oilers, you just stuck in it forever, and now, boom, Sauron eye, one of the two of those. I think that there's a Sauron and a Sauron. I think the bad wizard.
What about, like, what if we say the Dementors from Harry Potter? They're
books.
Floating around,
no,
you know?
No, that's not.
You can, if you want to make it more recent, the thing in the red light, green light from Squid Game.
Oh, yeah.
My analogy was bang on. I just didn't know the name. Somebody tell me.
Sure.
Text
I'm
me.
Sure you're going to get 100 messages.
Some nerd.
I even read those books as a kid. I even read those books. Like, that
if you're
sucks.
A nerd,
I can't
text
that.
In and help JD be better at being a nerd.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
590,
right.
590.
I have Sauron. Eye of Sauron is what he Googled. So the Eye of Sauron, the media eye, the fan eye, the national eye, back on the Toronto.
We already got two texts in. Sauron, and there's also a Sauron.
That's what I mean. I knew it. That's why. What a stupid... Hey, Tolkien, write better. Why
Matt
are you naming
from
two
Guelph.
Bad guys the same name?
Big nerd.
Okay, so you know where the Eye of Sauron's turning next? Back-to-back 1-2 nights in the Waken Rig. We got to get back on the winning track. We got to get my numbers back to the even 66.66667.
Sorry.
We got to have a night. Guys, we're going to set up the Waken Rig. That's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590 The Fan. Sports at 590, The Fan, Blake Murphy, the Jay-Z of the Wake and Rake Parlay, Ailish Forfar, J.D. Bunkus, the co-Jermaine Dupri of the Wake and Rake Parlay. If you're listening on the podcast, obviously we just came in with Money Ain't a Thing by Jermaine Dupri and Jay-Z. If you are not listening on the podcast, go subscribe, go rate, review, all that good stuff. Send proof of that to JD, and he'll break you off a little piece.
I said proof of vax. I was like, what are we doing?
No. Proof of, send JD proof of your vaccination, all your medical and banking records, and in return, he'll send you a little...
Send me a Bitcoin.
A little something to get you started for the Wake and Rake. If you just started with the Wake and Rake the last two nights and bet a little something, you have nothing left. We've had back-to-back 1-2 nights to review last night. Brooklyn Nets +2 hits. Toronto Maple Leafs lose. Cavs -3 at the Chicago Bulls loses as well. Before we get into dissecting those, I have to. I'm not going to name names. If you want to know who this is about, you can look in our prep doc here, JD and Ailish. Someone texted me before the Nets game last night. I was like, oh, like, I'm in on the Nets. You did a good job convincing me. But they teased the line by, like, 4.5 points from where it was to get a better price. We do not, like, that's not on us then. If you change the terms of the Wake and Rake pick, let that be a lesson to people. We're making that pick. If I'm making that pick Nets plus two, that's not the same as me saying Nets at whatever price. If you want to buy that up to Nets minus 2.5, so you get a little extra juice, and the Nets just happen to win by one, so they cover my bet and not yours.
It's your funeral.
That's not a me thing. Take the Wake and Rake picks for what they are.
You tell them.
Yeah. JD, we also might have to introduce a new one. You second-guessed yourself yesterday.
Yeah.
And it went the wrong way.
I, you know, I'm a big gambler's code guy, and I believe in karma. I believe in making sacrifices to Gamblor, the sports god. I do.
The eye of Gamblor, as it were.
I am a, you know, Ailish is the vibes coordinator of the show, but I am the karma and, you know, sports cursing. This is, and I've always been this. Since I was a kid, I was genuinely the kid. I got in a fight with my brother once because every time he came down the stairs one hockey night, the Red Wings scored on the Leafs. We got in a fight because I didn't want him coming down the stairs anymore. I've always been a believer in the karmic forces. Yesterday, I had the Hornets all morning. I said, this is a crazy line. Hornets should be favored in this game, should at least be a pick 'em. They were getting 3.5, 4.5 points at one moment against the Celtics. I made the whole case about how the Celtics are the public team and that they've been hot and so the blah, 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 blah. The Hornets won, and I should have just stuck with the Hornets. But instead, I flipped to our Cavs because I just thought that we should have our Cavs in there. I also thought that the Bulls were a fade team right now. The second I did it, the second the show ended, I felt deep regret. And I'm sorry. And I just want you guys to know that I feel like I let everybody down with that flipped pick. But here's what I will say. I'm guessing that a lot of you out there played the Hornets still. As my top pick, a lot of you still stuck with Hornets. And then you went, JD, I'm going to be your intervention. You know, I'm going to look out for you from afar and do that. Yesterday sucked. Yesterday sucked so bad. I said there was value on the Leafs over. I liked the Leafs over. I didn't play it myself. I left it alone. I just watched the Leafs game. I did my thing. I watched the Leafs. I got hammered yesterday on that Raptors pick. You know what was the worst? Is this is, and again, my fault. My fault. Lack of prep. Mavericks have been unbelievable on defense this year.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable on defense.
You assume because they have Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis as their 1-2 that they're not going to be a good defensive team.
First of all, Kristaps Porzingis, I will not have you slander him. He is one of the best defensive players in the NBA. Like, nobody protects the rim like that guy. John Morant, face the league, John Morant, said that that's the scariest guy at the rim, not Rudy Gobert.
Well,
I don't care
Precious
what the stats say.
Yeah. Precious full-on dropped an alley-oop last night.
Yeah, no. So, Kristaps 100% gets the credit, but yes, Luka Doncic's got to be one of the worst defensive players in the NBA, and yet his team is that incredible at it. And I don't think about like Jalen Brunson and Tim Hardaway Jr. as defensive aces, right? It's weird. They're really, really good defensively.
I really like Brunson, which is probably not surprising to you. Dorian Finney-Smith is like pretty good as like the role player you can put on the other team's best player. Like Brunson's got like a mini Fred thing going on where he's just so irritating defensively, despite being undersized. But yeah, that's a big time sum is greater than or whole is greater than the sum of its parts defense. They're right. Really, really good on that end.
So I am going to tweak the Raptors every game bet because I also realized something else that you can't rely on Precious or Chris getting the minutes out of those two guys. I thought that the play here was, well, you can take the rebounds over because there's no Kem Birch, which means that those guys are going to get a lot of opportunity. But what I failed to account for was the potential of Nick Nurse benching one of those two guys for an entire fourth quarter, right? Like I saying to Precious Ajua, you're done tonight, kid. You're going to sit on the bench for the entire fourth. That's just happening for you. So I've decided that the Raptors every game bet is already dead one game in and that I'm switching it to either a Scotty Barnes pick or to a second Siakam or Fred pick, because the whole play was about knowing that you are going to get some certainty with the roster, but there's still uncertainty with the two bigs. So lesson learned. So no excuses. I'm Fred VanVleet here. Hey, I gave out a couple winners. I just didn't play them myself. No excuses. You guys be the ones who decide, right? This is what the way that he put it. You be the ones to decide what happened here last night. So, yeah, a tough one. And, yeah, at this point, I think that we need to agree that the Leafs are a stay away from gambling.
I was really betting with my heart there on that one. And things looked good at the beginning, first period. I'm like, baby, no trapdoor.
Yeah. JD, I know one of your gambling rules, like your team, no cash out. The Leafs are the ultimate cash-out team right now with the rate at which they're blowing leads.
Or you bet when they're up, you bet the other team, like, plus money. I think it was, like, plus 500 at one point. I looked at it, and I said, I could do that, and I didn't, and I should have.
Is that how you said it to yourself?
Yeah. Yep. Exactly like that. I said it to my cat, and she said, don't do it. And I said, okay, fine.
That's so good. Either way, the gambling rule. One of them, again, a JD tenant in the commandments of JD's gambling. If you have a pick, stick with the pick. If the only reason that you're moving off the pick is because all of a sudden you get eyes for something, no. If you change your mind because you get presented with new information, like a player is out or something like that, yeah, obviously that's different. That was not the case with the pick yesterday, the Hornets pick. I just went for the Cavs because the Cavs are my sweet darlings who make me so much money this year that I thought it was offensive to them if I didn't continue to include them. Also, the Hornets blew a parlay for me this week against the Orlando Magic where they didn't cover a spread that I thought they would be able to easily. And so maybe I was just a little sour at them for that. You gotta let it go. You got to clean the slate. So let's clean the slate. Let's get back into the picks tonight. I'll start. I'm going against the Mavericks tonight. I'm taking the Phoenix Suns.
That's what I was going to do. No.
Oh, well, we can all just do it as a team.
That's okay. I got to think of another one. That's all.
This is a team endeavor. We're all right.
No, I know. I feel good that we both wanted that one, but focus.
there was a lot of Luka last night, and Luka's not in good shape, and it's a back-to-back, and it's against a really good team. Mm-hmm. And so I just don't like that it's a short line, and so this is just a money line play for me where I'm saying, yeah, Phoenix is going to win this game, I think anyways. I don't like Luka here.
It's a tough spot for Dallas, for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the most arduous of travel situations.
Nope, you're at home. It's just it is what it is. You're staying home. You slept in your own bed last night. It's no big deal.
So my concern here, and it's not a major one because Phoenix has dealt with this a lot and they're very good, but DeAndre Ayton is out. And then these names, again, this is like the thing we lined up the other day about when you're kind of stacking injuries and like, the names Frank Kaminsky and Dario Saric maybe don't mean a ton to you on their own, but when DeAndre Ayton is out and those names are also out behind him, it means a lot of playing small and a lot of JaVale McGee and Bismack Biyombo. So I actually think that's probably fine. JaVale McGee is good in a short role. Biz has been fine and at least cleans up the glass at both ends. And this Phoenix team is just really good, right? Like the gap in guard play here is going to be significant.
So here's my other case for why this is okay. You and I have a disagreement about this. Chris Paul should be an MVP candidate this year, and I think that the case for him is going to get stronger and stronger. You brought up his points per game to me privately. And so, but I'll just tell you this. Look at his points per game compared to what Steve Nash's points per game were when Steve Nash won MVP. And granted, Steve had more assists, but actually the Chris Paul case is very much the Steve Nash case, which is no matter who the Suns drop in a lineup, if Chris Paul is playing, he makes them better. And everyone around him thrives. And honest to God, like, I don't know what the hell, if it's just, what is happening here in the NBA where this isn't a bigger deal with Chris Paul? Kevin Durant's injury is a huge part of this, where Durant being out now for potentially more than a month is a big factor in this. And Steph Curry's regression is a big factor in this. But Chris Paul should absolutely be more in the discussion for MVP. The fact that we've talked about DeMar DeRozan MVP and not... And DeMar deserving of some down-ballot MVP votes. But the idea that DeMar DeRozan is in the same stratosphere of player as Chris Paul is absolute lunacy. So everyone should be looking themselves in the mirror and saying to themselves, why are we not talking about the guy in the NBA who is the most situationally independent player in the league right now when it comes to elevating those around him, who has the number one team in the Western Conference, and who is going to beat the brakes off of the Dallas Mavericks and Luka Doncic tonight at age 100, despite being under 6 feet tall, isn't more in the Lifetime Achievement Award. It's a travesty that we treat Chris Paul this way. Chris Paul for MVP, it starts tonight when he gets 10 dimes, throwing alley-oops to JaVale McGee, stuffing them in Kristaps' face. Let's go, Chris.
So, yes, for the context there, Nash's first MVP averaged 15.5 points, 11.5 assists.
Yep.
Paul's kicking in at 14-10 right
yep.
now. Which is good. And I don't disagree that Chris Paul has been very, very important and very, very valuable. My disagreement off air was just that, like, it's not going to happen. Like, Devin Booker averages 25 points a game. And the way that NBA award voting works is that Devin Booker has more spice from a story standpoint and on the come up standpoint, and has the gaudier stats, even though Chris Paul is more important to, I mean, everything. He's the point guard. He's still the point guard. So, Ailish, do you have a backup yep. pick ready to go?
I sure do.
I can switch if you want that.
No, pick. No. I don't want that one. I don't like it anymore. It's all yours. You can be the trapdoor.
Frank okay. Kaminsky being out really swung.
Yeah.
There.
Frank Kaminsky, my guy. All right. So, lots of heavy favorites in the NHL tonight. If you go through the schedule, Penguins versus Sens is crazy money line. -300 for the Penguins to win that one. Same with Golden Knights versus Canadiens, -360 for the Golden Knights to beat the Canadiens. So a lot of like really heavy favorites, but I'm going to go with one that I'm surprised isn't as heavy, is the Panthers over the Oilers. I might even go in regulation. So that's -105. The Florida Panthers are one of the best teams in hockey. We all know that. The Oilers are trash right now, and they're just in a very miserable spot in their lives. And the Panthers are only 2-10 in their last 12 road games. Is it something to consider? That's not a great stat, but I feel like they're coming in with so much more as a team dynamic. I'm surprised that the line is this close, really, because Oilers suck. So I'm going to go with Panthers money line in regulation, though.
Okay, so Panthers
in regulation. Over the Oilers.
And we got Suns money line. All right. Do you guys want a hockey one or an NCAA basketball one from me?
Whatever you want, because it's going to win regardless.
I don't know about that.
What a curse that was, by the way.
Okay, guys. Relax.
What do you mean? I told you that I'm the karma watchdog. You're not going to tell.
You can't say everything. I can't. Then I can only just be positive Polly. Sometimes I need to, you know.
Listen,
put a little bit of juju out there.
No, here's what you need it to be.
We're supposed to be a team.
Silent Sam over there, all right?
Yeah, I don't reference my own numbers. I reference our team numbers. I'm not trying to...
Yes, but Ailish, we know
When your goalie has a shutout, are you skating down to that end, just tapping him on the back,
yes.
going, hey, you're a couple minutes away from shutout. Like, you know that? Hey, we're going to get you
enough.
The shutout.
Yeah. You guys are soft and purposeless.
Yeah.
All right. Like,
okay,
whatever you think is going to be the best one, your record
your
is stellar. You are very good at betting, but you are not perfect. So there is room for error.
Yeah.
And tonight, whatever happens, happens.
No. She's trying to put the juju back right, Blake.
Yeah.
Whatever happens, happens. It put it in the fate of the, what'd you
gambler.
Say, the betting gambler, okay?
Yeah. Gambler,
is that
yeah.
better?
Okay, we're keeping it a little CanCon in the NCAA. We're going with Purdue. They're at Indiana. They're giving up 3.5 points, so I'm going to go Purdue money line for the little extra safety. Purdue is the number 4 team in the country by KenPom rankings, including the number 1 adjusted offense in the country. They have 7'3" Canadian Zach Edey, who is a real problem for teams like Indiana who don't have a big. They do have 1 7-footer, but he barely plays. And their best player, Trace Jackson Davis, is 6'9", but he's been banged up and is questionable for tonight due to a hip injury. Even if he goes, I mean, first, on one hand, that would be a big statement game for a 6'9" center named Trace Jackson Davis to, you know, have a good game against Zach Edey and kind of affirm that he can do that against NBA size. But I'm a little skeptical of that, especially with the hip injury he's dealing with. Purdue is maybe a monster. They've beaten some good teams in close games. They lost to our Badgers, of course. But I like Purdue tonight. There are a couple other. There are a million college basketball games tonight. JD, this has you doing the blind favorites parlay in college basketball written all over it this slate. Just like take a look, look at the big spreads, hit the money lines. But we're going for the Wake and Rake. Florida Panthers in regulation, Phoenix Suns money line, Purdue Boilermakers money line.
So I like it. I like the pick. Once again, I have to make my promise not to touch it. I feel like I need to. Listen, I got to get right before March because it's my favorite gambling time of the year. I genuinely put so much money down on March Madness that it would make my grandparents roll over in their graves. He's so furious with that. They would just not. This is not responsible. The amount I bet on March.
We just lost JD again.
So JD is once again gone robot. And yeah. So Vic, our technical director, asked for my hockey picks as well, and he wants them just for him. But I'll just drop them here. These are not part of the Wake and Rake, but as I was researching, the two largest edges that I see on the NHL tonight are Dallas and Boston. Washington has Carlson out. TJ Oshie's likely out, and they've and Boston's at minus 174. That should probably be closer to minus 200. Dallas against Buffalo with Geiser in net. That's like a 70-30 projection based on the Athletics model. So the one other one to keep an eye on, you need to wait for the injury reports, but it might be a night for the Knicks to get back on the winning side. They're minus four at home against the Pelicans. Devontae Graham is questionable, and the Pelicans, when Graham is out, have leaned a lot on Garrett Temple, who analytically has been the biggest drag on team performance in all of basketball. He's like full JD. If you remember the John Sammons year with the Raptors where he played 1600 minutes and you're supposed to be rebuilding and Dwayne Casey keeps playing 20 minutes a game from this over the hill vet.
Talking Pelicans? That's,
yeah. So I'm just saying that they're on the bad side if Devontae Graham doesn't play, because Garrett Temple has been like an irredeemable drag on their impact stats, and they'll lean on him for like 30 minutes if Graham doesn't play. I'm not recommending that until the injury reports come down, but it's a possible get back on the right foot spot for the Knicks.
So I have another recommendation to make. I'll tell you this. My gut, when I originally looked at that line, was to take the Pelicans plus the money. I think it's a decent spot. The Pelicans have just been kind of plucky this year, and so the Graham thing is noted, and I'll pay attention to that. But to me, that's just probably a stay away because both those teams are so volatile. Like, that it just – you can't – it's hard to project a result there, man. Like, it's just hard to project between what the hell the Knicks and the Pelicans are going to do. So here's what I'll say, too. Volatile. This is the next pick. You know I've been up watching tennis. I'm taking the over on Shapovalov games tonight. Games played. This dude is the king of shooting himself in the foot. He's going to play an opponent to playing more games than anybody else. I think it's at 44.5. That's what I last saw it at, games played. I think that's going to go over. This dude
it's at
went into.
Now.
Yeah, 43 over. Bing bong. I'm playing that.
Bing
this
bong.
This is basically.
Baby.
This is a situation where the opponent is inferior. He's supposed to be able to get this done, but the guy is an absolute head case who cannot get it together and is going to make a billion mistakes in this, and he's going to stretch games out. He's going to stretch out sets, and I think the number hits over. So I'm on Chapo tonight. I almost made it my best bet, but I wanted to stick with the Suns because I love Chris Paul, and I wanted to do that Chris Paul rant. But either way, Chapo.
And some golf action, but we don't have time to talk about it. But bet on golf. Bet on golf.
I always bet on golf, so it's just like
I know, but
the
there's a
I got
couple
people in my
tournaments
DMs.
On.
No, I got people in the DMs. People love giving out golf picks, and guess what? I play every one of them. So it's like I'm playing both sides in some golf things. That's how much golf is going down. So all right, yes, tons of golf picks.